Welcome to Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Everyone on mission. Look at your neighbor, say, are you on mission? Look at your other neighbor, say, he is on mission or she's on mission. Over the last 2 weeks, we've been talking about that everyone is on mission. In week one, we spoke about when we pray, emphasis on we. Week two, we spoke about when we give, heaven moves. This was last week. Heaven moves through what we release. We had 5 loaves and 2 fishes right here on this little table. And we were all in awe of the miracle God did with 5 little loaves. They were about this big. And 2 fishes, 2 dried sardines that were about 15 centimeters long. And that fact that God fed nearly 20,000 people, 5,000 men plus women and children, nearly 20,000 people with just 5 loaves and 2 fishes. When you see it in the natural, it's quite well. But the whole thing was, when we release to God, miracles happen. This week, I want to bring this whole missions series to a wrap. And I want to talk about when we go, when we, emphasis on we, meaning all of us. Why do I say we? Because as soon as we talk about missions, people disqualify themselves. I'm not a missionary. I'm not an evangelist. I'm not a preacher. I don't know the scripture enough. Anybody said those things? I don't want to know. But simply put, missions is this. Missions is just about people. Missions is just about people. The mission of God is about ordinary believers allowing God to use them to reach ordinary people. That's the mission of God. So as I was preparing in this week, I was in all scripture as I normally am, but I was between Acts 1 and Acts 8, and I read through it again, and I landed on the two. I landed on Acts 1 and I landed on Acts 8, and we're going to look at Acts 1:8, which we all know by now, that says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You will. Emphasis on the will. You will receive power and you will be my witnesses. There is no correspondence entered into. It's a mandate on all believers that you will receive power and you will be witnesses where? In Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Jesus is saying this to everybody. Hello, everybody. Jerusalem is where everything begins. You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem. But we need to take note, folks, that it was never meant to stay there. Because Jerusalem is followed by and. English, in the English language, and means inclusive of. It's not either or. It's inclusive of. And there are 3 ands. And in all Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. This mandate is given to all believers because you will be my all believers. We include it in the all. Reinforcing what we have been talking about the past 3 weeks. When you pray, or when we pray, when we give, when we go. So this morning I want to propose to you as the church, what God does in you is never meant to stop with you. What God does in you is never meant to stop with you. Now, this truth runs throughout the entire story, with the entire scripture. You see, what God did in Abraham wasn't meant to stop with Abraham, because God blessed Abraham so that all nations of the earth would be blessed through him. We are here because of Abraham, right? What God did in Moses wasn't meant to stop with Moses, because God delivered Moses from Egypt so that the entire nation could be delivered through him. What God did in David wasn't meant to stop with David, because God established David's kingdom so that the promise of the coming king, his name is Jesus, would reach future generations. What God did through the disciples wasn't meant to stop with the disciples, because Jesus transformed 12 ordinary blokes so that the gospel would spread to the ends of the earth through them. Now you see there's a bit of a pattern, yeah? I'm coming to a place. Who's next do you think is on the list? You and I. You and I, why? Because what God has done in you and what God has done in me is never meant to stop with you or with me. You see, you were transformed so that transformation can flow through you. You are blessed so that the blessings of God can flow through you. You are healed so that others can encounter the healer. You encounter Jesus, that's why we linger so long in worship, so that others can encounter Jesus through you when you walk out of these doors. You receive the gospel, the good news, so that you can carry the good news wherever you go. Folks, hear me this morning. God's intention has always been what he places in one life flows to another life, flows to another life, and another life, and another life. Why? So that entire communities, entire cities, entire nations, and the entire globe is transformed. The narrative of Scripture is movement. It's God advancing his mission through ordinary people like you and I. How? By praying, by giving, and by going. Ordinary men and women. Ordinary men and women who he uses for his purposes where his purposes are needed. Abraham. He sends Abraham to leave his country and go. He sends Joseph to Egypt to do what? To persevere life. He sends Moses back into Egypt because people needed deliverance. He sends Jonah to Nineveh. Why? Because people needed mercy. Isaiah, we read this in Isaiah 6:8. God says, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Isaiah says, here I am. Send me. And God sends him. Jesus comes and he sends the disciples into the world because why? People needed the gospel. Let's come back to us. The Holy Spirit comes and the Holy Spirit empowers the church, you and I, and the church is sent. Why? Because there are still people out there that need Jesus. Amen? The point is, from Genesis to Revelation, God's mission moves forward through ordinary people who are willing to pray, to give, and to go. And we need to ask why. We need to stop and go, why is this so important? And I want to tell you why. Because at the heart of God's mission is God's love for people. Today, he continues his mission through you and I, through his church. At the heart of God's mission is God's love for all mankind. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Let's get back to Acts. So Jesus gives this commission in Acts chapter 1. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, ends of the earth. But when we come to Acts chapter 8, we see that this is actually not the picture. When you look at the context, about 3 to 5 years have passed, but something doesn't seem right. Guess what that is? The disciples are nowhere in Judea, Samaria, or the ends of the earth. The disciples are still found in Jerusalem. Jesus said, and Judea, but they're still in Jerusalem. Jesus said, and all of Samaria, but they're still in Jerusalem. Jesus said, and to the ends of the earth, they're still in Jerusalem. And so as I was preparing this and going backwards and forwards, I felt the Holy Spirit prompt me and ask me a simple but a very confronting question. And this is the question: what is one of the greatest enemies of mission, JJ? And I'm like, in money? He goes, nope. I'm like, in manpower? He goes, nope. Maybe opportunity? He goes, nope. There's plenty of that. I went, ability? He goes, nope. And I give up. He goes, comfort. The greatest enemy of mission is comfort. You know why? He asked me, you know why? I'm like, I know you're going to tell me, so just tell me, Holy Spirit. He says, comfort whispers stay when Jesus says go. How true is that, eh? Comfort says, stay where you are. It's okay. You've done enough. Someone else will do it. This is good enough. Oh, you don't have to give more. You don't have to do more. Yeah. Somebody else will do that. I actually had somebody on our mission team, I won't mention names, but say to me last week after the service, oh, this will most probably be my last mission trip. And I'm like, why? Oh, no, I'm getting too old now. Somebody else can do it. Oh, okay, not on my watch. Not while I'm the pastor of this. Until I put you 6 feet under the ground, you will go on every mission trip. Because God's not finished with you. You see, comfort whispers stay when Jesus says go. Now, if we go back to Acts 8, and we take what we've just learned and the question the Holy Spirit asks us, guess what? We find that Jerusalem had actually become comfortable for the disciples. And you and I, we know how that feels, correct? We understand exactly how it feels to be comfortable. We like familiar places. Only two, Paulina and Pastor Russ. They like, no. We all like familiar places, yes? Why do we go to the same holiday place every time in January? Because we like familiar places, yes? We like familiar routines. We like familiar people. You just got to go into the foyer after the service. The people who know one another talk to one another. We like familiar conversations. Yeah? We like environments that are familiar. We like environments that we know what to expect. Am I speaking to somebody here? I'm speaking to myself. But you know what? I've got to highlight the fact that the disciples are not rebellious people. They were doing good stuff, but yet they had become comfortable in Jerusalem, staying where they were. I mean, reality is the disciples had received teaching personally from Jesus. You think that would spur them on. They had actually witnessed personally his resurrection. They had been filled with the power of the, they had seen the tongues of fire. They'd been filled with the power. They'd heard the wind in the upper room. But yet, they had become comfortable staying in a place that they were comfort, familiar with. Knowing what was about to happen. But there is a but. All that I've just spoken to you about was never meant to remain in Jerusalem. Because what God had deposited in them was destined for the world. Think about yourself. What God has deposited in them was destined for the world. What God has deposited in you, hold on, wait a minute. I wonder if there is maybe a word for some of us in this today. Maybe you've been blessed. Maybe you've been healed. Maybe you've been restored. Maybe relationships have been restored. Maybe God's faithfulness and provision has just gone before you and you walk in it. Maybe you've experienced his grace that just blows. We all experience his grace every single day, but maybe his grace has just been so humongous in your life that it's blown you away. Can I highlight today that God didn't do that in your life only for you? He did that so somebody else could encounter him through you. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. He does it for you so that you can testify of his goodness so that somebody else can hear it so he can do it again. May I propose today that God didn't do what he's done in your life. We've all got good stories, yes? Where we were once upon a time to where we are today. Or is it only me? But God does that, not for me. God does that for the next person who is in my sphere, in my vicinity, in my world. What God does in you was never meant to stop with you. It is destined for the world. Chew on that one. Chew on that one. Now, past weeks, we've said we need to pray beyond ourselves. Last week, we said we need to give beyond ourselves, and we're going to have an opportunity later today. But today, I want to say to you, we need to go beyond ourselves. We need to go beyond our comfort. We need to step out of our comfort. We need to go walk across the room. We need to walk across the road. We need to even walk across the foyer outside here. Out of our comfort. But we don't. And the question that we need to ask is, why don't we step out of our comfort? And the one thing that comes to mind is the fact that we fear. We fear the unknown. We have fear of being ridiculed. We have fear of being rejected. We have fear of persecution. We have fear of loss, whatever it may be. But you've got to remember always what God deposited in you is destined for the world. Now, we've seen in Acts from 7:59 through to Acts 8, verses 4. It's going to be on the board. Follow me. That the church, the believers, the church, they are starting to be ridiculed. They're starting to be attacked. The enemy is trying to stop the church from moving. I mean, Stephen is martyred, all right? He is stoned to death, stoned to death. You think you've been persecuted? Yeah. Stephen was stoned to death. All right, just saying. Stoned to death for his testimony about Jesus. Acts 8:1 says, persecution breaks out. On that day, the day Stephen was martyred, a great persecution broke out. Guess what happened? There were arrests, there was imprisonment, there was harassment, there was people being driven from their homes, violent opposition, etc., etc. The church is scattered. We read that in Acts 8:1. And all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Whoa, stop right there. Acts 1 talks about Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. Look, listen, let's read this again. And all were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Whoa. You can say whoa. That is whoa. Believers are forced out of Jerusalem. Acts 8 verses 3 to 4, Saul began to destroy the church, going from house to house. He dragged off both men and women and put them in prison. And then Luke records these amazing words. Verse 4, those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Those who had been scattered, where? Judea and Samaria. Preached the word wherever they went. As I'm reading this, I'm reminded of Romans 8:28, the Passion Translation, which I'm going to read to you because it's actually beautiful. It says, every detail of our lives, good, bad, and ugly, every detail of our lives is continually woven together to fit into God's perfect plan, which never changes, God's perfect plan of bringing good into our lives, for we are His lovers who have been called to fulfill His design purpose. We see this in this scripture, in Acts 8. The enemy attacks the church, but guess what? He could not stop the mission of God. The enemy scatters the believers, but he could not silence the gospel. Yeah. Jerusalem, Judea, all of Samaria, and then, of course, the ends of the earth. Those who had been scattered. You have your physical Bible, underline that. Those who have been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Can I point out to you what it is not saying? It does not say that the apostles preached wherever they went. It does not say that the evangelists preached wherever they went. It does not say that the professional ministers or the pastoral person who has a doctorate in theology preached wherever they went. It says those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Now, that word preached is this very long word in the Greek, which I will not try to pronounce. But it actually means to announce good news. But I can't preach because I don't. No. it's not talking about this word, the next word on the next slide. It's not talking about that word. That word, that bottom preach, which is in black, is what I'm doing right now. Do you see that it's two different words? Do you realize that you cannot say anymore that you cannot preach because you don't have to do what I'm doing? It's not required of you. You just have to announce the good news. Announce the good news. Announce the good news. Who has to announce the good news? Those. The scripture talks about those. Who is involved? Who's included in that word those? Ordinary believers. Who's included in the those? Mothers and fathers. CEOs, businessmen. I wrote a bunch of admin staff, ITs, tradespeople, doctors, lawyers, teachers, families, nanas, granddads, uncles, aunts, cousins. You. And you 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 and you. Every single person who is a believer is included in the those. Every single person. You see, what God does in you was never meant to stop with you. It's important to hear this today. It's not meant to stop with you. And Paul, in Romans 10:14, he actually wrestles with this very thing. Message translation. Listen to the progression of his argument. How can people call for help if they don't know who to trust? And how can they know who to trust if they haven't heard of the one, capital O, the one who can be trusted? And how can they hear if nobody tells them? And how is anybody going to tell them unless someone is sent to do it? Wow. Let me break that down in plain English. People need to believe. Everybody says amen to that one, yeah? But before people believe, they need to hear. Everybody's like, yeah, amen. Everybody needs to hear. But wait a minute. Before they hear, somebody must speak. Now, all of a sudden, we've lost 3/4 of the room. They're like, I'm going to speak? What are you talking about? Wait. It goes on. Before someone speaks, someone must go. We've only got 3 people in this room that have said amen. The rest are like, yep, not me. That doesn't include me. I'm not going anywhere. Yeah? No. You're not hearing what is meant to, you're meant to be heard. Because guess what? 2,000 years ago, the good news has continued moving. It went from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria, and it's spreading across the globe to the ends of the earth. Generation after generation has been impacted. City after city has been impacted. Nation after nation is busy being impacted. And you know what? One glorious Saturday on the 26th of January in 1788, it reached the shores of Australia as what is known as Sydney Cove. The first official Christian service conducted by Reverend Richard Johnson, an Anglican chaplain. Then it starts spreading across the whole of nation of Australia. And some 47 years later, in 18 October 1835, a prayer book service is recorded on the site where St. Paul's Cathedral stands today in Melbourne. Wow. Say wow. That is wow. Where did it start, folks? Jerusalem, Samaria, Judea. And it has spread across to come on the 26th of January, 1788, hit Sydney Cove. 18th of October, 1835, Melbourne. Guess what? It's reached Blackburn North. And here we sit in 20 Joseph Street. It's reached us as well. Last week and the week before, we had people sitting in this place who gave their life to Jesus for the very first time. Where did it start? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. You understanding what I'm saying here? Folks, what started with a small group of disciples in Jerusalem more than 2,000 years ago has now traveled to the other side of the world. And you and I are better off because of it. The question we have to ask ourselves, and I want us to stop and hear me right now, is will it continue moving through us or will it stop with us? Let me make it personal. Will it continue moving through you or will it stop with you? Because I need to remind you again, what God does in you was never meant to stop with you. Well, how does it not stop with me, JJ? Glad you asked the question because I have an answer. Share the good news. No, let's make it personal. Share your good news. But JJ, I don't know what to say. I have no theological training and I haven't got the gift of the gab like you, and I haven't got your personality. No, you don't need a sermon. You just need to share what Jesus has done in your life. What has he done in your life? You see, nobody can argue with your testimony. Nobody can deny your encounter. Nobody can take away your story. Nobody. Your story is yours. Your encounter is your encounter. Your testimony is your testimony, your testimony alone. And I'm reminded of the scripture in John 9, verses 1 to 7, where Jesus healed a man who was born blind. All these religious leaders are furious. They begin interrogating this poor guy, and he hasn't got the answers. He does not have a degree in theology. He eventually responds with one of the greatest statements of which songs have been sung. And he says this: "One thing I know, I was blind, but now I see." Come on. That speaks 1,000 words. What is he saying? He's saying, I don't know everything. I don't understand everything. But what I know is that this man called Jesus, I was born blind, but now I'm seeing. That's what he did for me. Your story is exactly like that. Your testimony is exactly like that. You see, folks, the greatest witness many of us possess is simply the evidence of a transformed life. And I look across this room at about 150 people and I say, there's 150 transformed lives sitting in this room right now. I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I was once broken and lost and seeking and on the verge of suicide. But he found me. And years later, I'm standing in front of you preaching the gospel. What is your testimony? What is your testimony? What is the gospel that you share? What is the gospel story? What is the good news? You see, your life is transformed. How? Because when people see peace where there should be anxiety or hope where there should be despair, they take note. When people see forgiveness where there should be bitterness or joy where there should be pain, they begin asking questions. And suddenly our lives become opportunities for the gospel to be shared, for the good news to be shared. This is what God did for me. This is where I was and this is where God was. This is what God did for me. I want to propose to you that Acts 1:8, I'm back in Acts 1. Acts 1:8 is not just four locations, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. I want to suggest to you that Jesus is highlighting our circles of influence in our current vicinity. People already in our worlds. You see, this is where mission begins. Ordinary people reaching out to ordinary people with the good news. I'm trying to make you realize that it is easier than what you think. Because if you think about it, I think God has actually made it easier for us to spread the gospel in the 21st century. What are you talking about, JJ? Because we've got airplanes and internet. No, I'm not even talking about that. Just look at Melbourne. Just think of Melbourne. People from every tribe, every language, every culture, every background, every worldview is on our doorstep in Melbourne. Just got to go into the city on a Friday night. 8 o'clock at night. My gosh, the streets are filled with every tribe, every nation, every culture, every background, every worldview. God has actually brought the nations to our doorstep. To our doorstep. God has brought the nations into your Jerusalem. Your Jerusalem. Can you imagine sharing with your neighbor from Iran? That neighbor encounters Christ. They call the family back home in Iran. They share their testimony, how what God is doing. They influence relatives and friends. And suddenly, one act of obedience through you in Melbourne begins impacting lives on the other side of the world. Your Jerusalem. Folks, never underestimate the ripple effect of one single act of obedience. That's why we have a mandate to go. You see, the kingdom of God has always worked that way. One conversation, one invitation, one prayer, one testimony, one act of obedience. God takes that and he multiplies it. There's an impact that happens. Five loaves, two fishes. He takes that and he multiplies it. That 20,000 lives are touched and changed. What will he take from you and multiply that the nations are changed? I see this same principle in our mission partners. Now, our booklet. If you haven't received a booklet, take your booklet, take it home. Please go and read. We've got all our mission partners are in here. All our mission partners are in here. But I see the same principle in their lives. I'm going to highlight one. His name is Ben Hay, this beautiful man here, who we're going to go meet up with in Kenya. Him and Irene have been here with their kids the whole of last year. But you know what? Ben didn't start in Kenya. Ben started in Melbourne. Somebody shared the gospel with Ben in Melbourne. Ben got involved here in Melbourne, actually in Yuma Church. But Ben didn't start serving in Kenya. He served in the Richmond Flats. He had a willingness of a heart to step forward. He had a willingness to say yes to God. And one step led to another step, one opportunity to another opportunity. And the next minute, he's on a mission trip to Africa. And there, God says, and where is he today? In Africa. Touching lives, changing lives. He's married. He's got a beautiful wife. He's got beautiful children. Countless lives of children and adults are being impacted today because of the willingness to go beyond the comfort and say yes. Every kingdom story begins the same way. One yes, one act of obedience, one willingness to go. Everybody begins by saying yes where they are in their Jerusalem. In their Jerusalem, the Holy Spirit comes. He empowers. He empowers for you to witness. Each one of you have the Holy Spirit. You do. You do have. You wouldn't have been able to receive Jesus without the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit. Therefore, you are empowered to witness. Church, I believe the Holy Spirit is asking us a question today. When we go out of these doors today, where is your Jerusalem? Because not everybody will go to Kenya. Not everybody will go to Thailand. Not everybody will go to Africa. But everybody in this room, everybody at the sound of my voice, is going somewhere right after the service. Everybody will see somebody beyond these doors and these walls. Everybody will be in God's mission field, which is his people. Every one of us. Every one of us. See, here's the question. Who has God placed in your world? If you go into Westfield, who is God highlighting to you who's waiting for an encouragement? Who is God highlighting to you in your Jerusalem, waiting for you to pray for them, waiting for to hear your story, waiting for somebody to carry Jesus, the good news, into their world? Our Jerusalem. Because when ordinary people go, God moves. God moves. When ordinary people pray, God moves. When ordinary people give, God moves. God is waiting to move through you and through me. He's waiting. He's waiting. And I say, come on, church. Come on, if you're visiting us for the very first time, may this be a good message for you. If you call Yuma East home, may this convict you. not me. May Holy Spirit convict us. May we be a family that goes. May we be a family that prays. May we be a family that gives. May we be a family that goes into our Jerusalem. May these empty seats be filled with new people that come in, brought in by you. Brought in by you. I don't want in a year's time to have as many empty seats in the second service. I want this place packed out that we're looking at a third and a fourth service, or even a new building. Five hoo-hoos, and we'll grow this faith. We'll grow this faith. Today we are focused on Jerusalem, but there is a Judea and a Samaria. And I want to say to you, amazingly, we already have partners in Judea and Samaria. They're there. They're in the mission field beyond Australia. Partners that we need to pray for. Partners that we need to support as we go, like we're doing, going to Kenya. But also partners that need us to give financially. Give financially. So when today we have this amazing opportunity, Pneuma-wide, Pneuma Global, to give to Judea and Samaria. But as we give into our Pneuma missions, our faith offering, I want to reiterate what I said last week. Your giving will go places your feet may never reach. If you weren't here, listen to that message. If you weren't here week one, listen to that message about prayer. I reckon it's one of my best sermons I've prayed about prayer. The biggest revelation I've had on prayer. But today we partner with God's mission beyond Jerusalem, beyond our Jerusalem. And when we give, heaven moves. You see, like the five loaves and the two fishes, I should have actually had it here again today. As that was released, the young boy released it to the disciples. The disciples released it to Jesus. Jesus released it to the Father, gave thanks. He then gives it to the disciples. And the disciples walk around and they hand out five loaves, two fishes, and they feed 20,000 people. That is a miracle beyond comprehension. I thought to myself after that, I'm going, I wonder how that happened. I wonder if the loaves were in like this, and there were 12, because remember, there was only five, but there were 12 disciples. How did they feed 5,000 men plus women and children? They broke them into groups, but I mean, did it multiply in their hands? It multiplied as they released. But then they took up 12 baskets. Let me go down this rabbit hole. They took up 12 baskets of what was left over. So was that bread and that fish multiplying in their hands? Because they were all full, the Bible says. Are we realizing the miracle that as we release to God, God goes above and beyond? And here's my question. When we give, heaven moves. As we release our finances, what does that do? As we release finances, it releases our partners physically to continue planting churches. Places where you may never have gone to plant churches. Educating children where you may never ever go in your life. Strengthening communities. Giving children with disabilities hope. Preaching the gospel to unreached groups where you may never ever go before. Digging wells so people can have fresh water. When we give and release finances today, we partner with what God is doing across the nations. Across the nations. So as we prepare our hearts, I want you to close your eyes and I want you to ask God this simple question, Lord, what is my part? I want you to ask God, what are you asking me to release into your hands? What are you asking me to release into your hands? What are you asking me to invest into your mission field in Judea and Samaria this year? And I want to say this, folks, never underestimate what God can do. Because just as this young lad released the five folds and five fishes, I believe that as you release into Jesus' hand, it will touch and change nations. Because again, what God does in you was never meant to stop with you. Father, we also pray. I pray for each and every single one of us that you will fill us with boldness of your Spirit to be a witness in Jerusalem, in our Jerusalem, Lord God, in our workplaces, in our homes, in our schools, in our neighbors. I pray, give us courage. Give us courage to walk across the street. Give us courage to walk across the room. Give us courage, Lord. Give us compassion for those who don't know you yet, Father God. And give us faith to believe that you can change lives through us, Lord God. Father, I break off timidity. I break off fear in the name of Jesus. And I release the Lion of Judah upon us, Lord God. I say, may we roar. May we shift atmospheres, Father God, because of the boldness that is within us. We declare this in the mighty name of Jesus. We say, kingdom come. Amen. Heaven invade these pledges, our space and our place. Every life, even our kids' church, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.